In the final minutes of his presidency, Joe Biden preemptively pardoned several of his family members, COVID response chief Dr. Anthony Fauci, and members of the House 6th January 6th riot investigation. So how do preemptive pardons work? Joining us now is one of our legal experts on the show, attorney Bill Bloss. And Bill, happy new year. Welcome back. Could you explain to us how preemptive pardons work?
Sure. The pardon power is part of the Constitution. It's in Article 2 of the Constitution. It's probably the broadest power that the Constitution gives to the president because it is unreviewable. It has no standards at all within the Constitution. It is something that a president can do simply by a stroke of the pen without any oversight or appeal or anything else at all. A preemptive pardon is most pardons are of people who have either been indicted or convicted of crimes, like the January 6th rioters that I guess about 1,500 of them were pardoned overnight. That's the typical situation, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says that that's the only situation where a president can pardon. And in fact, it has been held by the U.S. Supreme Court over 100 years ago that an indictment was not necessary, that a pardon could be provided even without charges. And, you know, the most famous one, of course, is President Ford issuing a preemptive pardon to President Nixon. Now, I was never challenged in court. Nixon was never indicted, and so he never it was never an issue judicially whether that was legal or not. But the great weight of authority says that this is within the president's power to issue a preemptive pardon.
And as you just mentioned, Attorney Bloss, this is something that, regardless of your political affiliation, every single president has the right to do this, every outgoing president. Do you feel like it's constitutional? Do you feel like, of course, when you hear from President Trump's team calling the preemptive pardons of Biden the greatest attack on America's justice system in our history, the same sort of jargon was used with outgoing President Trump, his first term in office. So when you hear about what's happened in recent presidential years, do you feel like it's still constitutional to have preemptive pardons, or is it pretty much in line with what past presidents have always done?
Well, I mean, that's two different questions. It's clearly constitutional. There is nothing that limits the president's authority to only pardoning people who've been convicted or even charged with crimes. Is it consistent with what other presidents have done? Well, it's not. It's not often that preemptive pardons on this scale have been ordered, but President Trump in his first term ordered a preemptive pardon for Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Phoenix. Arpaio had been charged in a contempt of court case, he was convicted but not sentenced, and he was pardoned by President Trump. But President Trump also preemptively pardoned Arpaio for any other offenses that he might be charged with arising out of this civil litigation between the Justice Department and Arpaio. So if the argument is that you can't preemptively pardon, the Supreme Court says otherwise, and President Trump says otherwise, and President Ford says otherwise. So it's whether it's good policy or not, that's a separate question. But it's clearly constitutional.
Another thing, too, Attorney Bloss, is there an amount of pardons you can give? Like, is there a set amount of pardons a president can give?
No, it's completely unlimited. It's a hangover from the days of the monarchy where the king had this authority. But this was built into the Constitution and without any kind of guardrails at all, without any limits.
That's kind of odd to me, a little bit. And I think that's kind of interesting, like without the guardrails. I don't know why, but in my mind, I thought that pardons, you only had a certain set because I don't know. But maybe that's my own incorrect thinking.
Well, no, there are literally no guidelines, no limits, no numbers. It is. When I said it was probably the broadest power that the president has, I think that's right. I mean,
wow.
It doesn't have to answer to anybody. Doesn't have to submit a report to Congress, doesn't have to do anything. So, but you know, Melissa, there is something kind of interesting about the pardons. The recipients of the pardons would have to accept them in order for them to be binding on a court. So, in other words, let's just spin something out. Let's just say Liz Cheney gets indicted for something, you know, which I think is not very likely. But right. let's say.
Okay.
But so she would have to actually formally present the pardon to the court to say I've been pardoned. In which case, in which time the court would dismiss the case. If she doesn't accept the pardon and present it in court, then it's a private matter, and the pardon has no effect at all.
Wow.
So. So there's another interesting little wrinkle. Once if the recipients accept the pardon, let's say that Dr. Fauci is subpoenaed to testify before Congress, mm-hmm. and he says, well, I've been pardoned and I accept the pardon. Well, he then would not have a Fifth Amendment right not to testify, not to answer questions that might incriminate him. So he could be compelled, any recipient of the pardon could be compelled to testify if they accept it without asserting a Fifth Amendment privilege, which before yesterday they could have done. So it really opens up some very interesting tunnels. I can see there in 6 months, congressional committees having hearings, maybe not even 6 months, having hearings with General Milley, for example, say, or Dr. Fauci or Liz Cheney, where there's going to be a huge fight about what they can testify to and what can't they testify to, and did they accept the pardon or did they not accept the pardon. Okay, so this is, I hate to say it, Melissa, this isn't over yet.
Yeah, and you know, Attorney Bloss, I think you just outlined a couple more questions I had regarding that. So first of all, why wouldn't somebody accept a pardon? I don't see why you wouldn't. It seems like it's a winner, but the only caveat there is I guess I don't understand the whole Fifth Amendment thing. Why would you want that over a pardon? So forgive me for my ignorance.
No, that's okay. The one problem is that if you testify now to Congress, you accept the pardon, you don't have a Fifth Amendment privilege not to testify, so you testify, what's next? You could get indicted for lying to Congress. And
okay.
So there might be somebody who would say, you know, this seems like not a great deal. I think I'm going to, I'm not going to expose myself to a perjury indictment to Congress, so I'm not going to accept the pardon. The other thing is there's an old Supreme Court case going back to 1915 that where a person did not accept a pardon, and this whole issue came up with the privilege. And the Supreme Court wrote that accepting a pardon carries an imputation of guilt and the acceptance of the pardon a confession of guilt. Now, it was to the side of the opinion. It wasn't material to the opinion. But President Ford, when he pardoned Nixon, actually carried around in his wallet that clipping or a clipping with that section of the decision, justifying in his mind that that Nixon accepting the pardon basically confessed guilt. And in fact, he wrote that in his pardon statement.
Interesting.
It's not legally, it's not true. There's
right.
nothing in the Constitution that says that a person who accepts a pardon is confessing guilt. There's absolutely no requirement of that. But there is this language in this old opinion that I'm sure we're going to hear about from President Trump's side today. I would guess because it's not a secret. But if you can spin the acceptance of a pardon into a confession of guilt, I mean, that's good politics.
We're getting a better understanding of preemptive pardons from one of our legal experts on the Melissa in the Morning Show, Bill Bloss. Attorney Bloss is here. This is my big question when you hear about pardons, Bill. What is the difference between a pardon and expungement? You know, when, like, does a pardon totally clear your record? So if you look at former President Joe Biden. You know, previously he had issued a pardon for his son, Hunter Biden, who was facing sentencing for two criminal cases. So does this totally clear his record? Like, what is sort of the difference between a pardon versus expunging a record? Or are they the same?
A pardon means that it never happened, effectively. There's no record of the case. There's no record of the arrest. There's no record of the conviction. If somebody has been sentenced, there's
it's a
no
clean
record
slate.
Of the sentencing. Clean slate. The other power that the president has is to commute a sentence. So, in other words, somebody like yesterday, President Biden commuted the sentence of Leonard Peltier, who was a Native American activist who was convicted of killing two FBI agents. He had been sentenced to life. His sentence was converted to a sentence of time served, and he would be allowed to live under supervision in his house. That's a commutation. That means the conviction stands. The sentence that he's already served obviously stands, but the rest of the sentence that Peltier still owed was vacated. So, the conviction in a commutation, the conviction is still on the person's record. In a pardon, there is no conviction.
And as mentioned before, another one of the sets of pardons, I should say preemptive pardons, members of the January 6th House committee that were investigating the riot. Even though they are pardoned, is this basically, because I would imagine that President Trump is not going to kind of just let that go. I would imagine do you just find another sort of angle or way to either reopen or create a brand new case? Or is it just sort of a dead end at that point?
Well, it's a dead end charging directly for something that happened during the committee proceedings, for example.
Okay.
A preemptive blanket pardon means that anything that happened up until yesterday is
never
over.
Never happened. It's gone. So you can't even redo it. It's gone. It's done.
That's correct. But what I think is going to happen is that the some of these committee members are going to get hauled in front of Congress to testify under oath about what they did or what they said or what the discussions were. And then there is going to be those people are going to have to decide, do I want to assert my pardon or do I want to not assert? And in which case I'll have to testify and I don't have any Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. Or do I want to assert my privilege and not testify? I think where this is going is you're going to have now hearings where the committee members or Dr. Fauci or General Milley are going to have to think long and hard with very good lawyers about what they want to do, because it's not hard to imagine a series of testimonies leading to perjury indictments, which would not be precluded by the pardons, because those any perjury, say in April or May, is after yesterday. So pardon cannot work into the future. It can only work into the past.
That's tricky. That's a really tricky thing. Well, I definitely have a better understanding of this, and I appreciate your time, Attorney Bill Bloss, always on this show. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
My pleasure.